powerful. I've got to do some apologizing to all these people over here. I want to apologize. I've been rebuked. You see, I'm left-handed, so I have a real natural inclination, and it's to do this. And so I've been rebuked by people over here. You know who you are. And so I'm going to make a real conscious effort to not discriminate against those on the right side, even though you think you're on the left side. But you're on my right side. So anyway, so I'm going to really work on that. How many of you excited to be here? How many of you are court appointed to be here? I love it. They're holding up the papers. Sign them afterwards. You know, we don't have to agree on everything. You know, we don't have, there are, what's funny about that, Chris? Oh, I wasn't, okay, all right. We don't have to agree on everything. And so I want to just talk tonight I just want us to really focus tonight. Because you can't fathom what God has done for you if you misunderstand or miscomprehend this God. And so we don't have to agree on a lot of things. For example, I'm going to read here out of Genesis. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we can debate on how God did that, couldn't we? And people have written books about it, committed their lives to it. Churches have taken stands on it where here's how God did it, and there was no other possibility. Yeah, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly how God did it. All I know is what the Bible says. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So why debate on how God did it? But we've got to agree that God did it. That God did it. And it's because of who He is. So the Bible says, and like this is, let me just tell you. Like, you know how every once in a while as a parent, you accidentally do something right. And we call it wisdom. All right? Well, like one of the things we do is I'm just trying to teach my kids some real basic things about God. I want them to know that God is great and that they were created for the glory of God. And so, man, when I ask my kids, even my little 2-year-old, you know, I say, Allie, why did God create you? Glory. You know, I'm like, that's right, you know, and Sam and Will understand that. Molly understands that as far as being able to repeat it. Now, I don't know that they really grasp the glory of God. I don't know that I really grasp the glory of God. Listen, the fall has separated us from God. And so in and of myself, I'm not going to grasp this God. I'm not going to understand Him. And so the very few things I've been able to grab hold of, it's because He is given to me. And so this is one of the verses that my kids memorize. And I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, kids, you know, what does Genesis, or no, I don't ask them what Genesis 1:1 says. I said, hey, tell me in the, because that's how we do it, in the, and they'll all say, beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to tell you, it is so important that you believe this. It is so important that you believe this. And I just want to spend some time here tonight. And we're not going to debate all this stuff. And you've heard me kind of joke about evolution. And everybody's talking about evolution. And how God do this and how do God do that. I think there's a whole lot of that that's up for debate. And I think there are some of that that's up for no debate at all. Because as I read the scripture, and I'll just throw one thing out here. You know, I was created in the image of God, not in the image of an animal to someday evolve into a God. And so, but here's the deal. I don't want us to get into all these debates about that. But the thing that we've got to first come to grips with is that God has created. That He has made all this possible. And let me just be specific. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Nothing exists except that God has allowed it. Does everybody understand that? And so God, He's a creator God. And so that has so many implications about what that means for how God intends for us to live our lives. And so He's created us. And so if you struggle with the concept of God as creator, then at some point you're going to struggle with the concept that God's created you, that He's capable of forgiving you, I mean, listen, if you're going to have trouble with God created, you're going to have a big time trouble with Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. Has anybody been to the morgue and seen that happen? The dead being raised. And so, like, I got a lot of friends, I try not to be a moody preacher, but sometimes I am. And so I'm a little moody tonight in this sense, that this past Sunday I went back home to preach at a church where a lot of people that I went to high school with are there. And what was overwhelming to me was not the amount of people that I knew who I went to high school with. It was the amount of people that I knew who don't have a relationship with Jesus who weren't there. So I tried to make a few phone calls and, you know, hey, I'm in town to preach. You know, like they've been waiting for 15 years for me to come home and they're like, who is this? Like, Jamie, I was voted most popular in the senior class. Don't you remember that? Yeah, I didn't vote for you. You know, and it's kind of like that. And so getting into some conversations with people, and, you know, somebody emailed me and said, man, you got to be kidding me. You are still believe all that stuff. When are you going to grow up? Was the gist of the email. Like, these stories, this book is great for little kids, but at some point we got to grow up, and man, all this stuff could not have happened. But I want to plead with you tonight. I don't know that everybody here is going to buy into everything hook, line, and sinker, and I'm not asking you to do that, but I'm going to suggest that most people that I know that aren't believers, they put a whole lot more time and energy into their retirement than they do their eternity. And so some of you are here tonight, and you're guilty of that. And so I really want you to listen. And then a lot of us are here, and we've been doing this church thing a long time, and it's just that. It's church. And so it's another Wednesday night, and, you know, I don't know, kind of like when I wasn't a pastor on staff at a church, going to church was a chore, I'll just be honest. I remember one time after, like, being in ministry for 6 years and every Sunday morning doing this thing, we went on vacation. And while we were on vacation on this one Sunday, we were kind of remote, and there was no place to really worship, so we didn't get up and go someplace. And I told my wife, I said, oh my gosh, now I know what we're really up against. And she said, what do you mean? I said, man, how awesome was that, just sleeping in this morning, having this day. I mean, we never had that. You know, I said, this is what we're really up against. It's not powers and principalities. It's sleeping in and just having this whole day, you know, to get stuff done or whatever. I wouldn't even know what to do except to sit around on having a whole day just like that. And so I think a lot of us have just forgotten how incredible this God is, because it's not about church. Does everybody understand that? I mean, this is like, I think, one of the few churches that you'll come to that we're really strong about, that it's not about church. And, you know, because we always talk bad about church people. Raise your hand if you're church people. I love it. Like, the first time you ask that, everybody raise their hand. Now people know, don't raise your hand. But I love church. Just don't do it. He's going to call you out. But this is about God. And I don't want those things to be confused, because my kids will read this and will say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I'm going to kind of come at this from a little different angle, because I want you to hear a few things. And then God said, let there be light. Man, you got to love this God who said, let there be light. I have just a little bit of electrical expertise. And so my father-in-law has this two-way switch thing happening. You all know what that is? Like, where this switch turns something on, and so does this one. So, like, when I tore into that to check it out, there was just, like, a ton of wires. And so my mother-in-law's all like, shouldn't you turn the breaker off? I'm like, well, how else am I going to know which wire works, you know? And I was like, everybody get off my back. I know what I'm doing, you know? And the kids are kind of running around, and then I'm looking, and I don't know what happens. But a ball of fire about this big explodes in front of my face. Nose hair gone for months. And, you know, nose hair has a very significant purpose. And I know some of you really know that. And so anyway, so there's this ball of fire, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm like, kids, get in the other room. You know, everybody get away. You know, I'm trying to do something here. And God says, let there be light. And the Bible says, right then, right there, there was light. Think about it. I mean, you know what I'm looking forward to? Like the media department in heaven. Because when I get there, I'm going to have like my $3 or whatever it is, you know, because there'll just be always money coming out of your pocket, right? Like some of you are like writing this down. Wow, I did not know that. Where is that? And I'm going to say, I want to see the creation video. And I want to see all this stuff happening. And then in the midst of this darkness, the voice of God saying, let there be a light. And there was a light. And so I've got these friends, and they said, man, I don't believe all that. And they said, you know, and I'll say, how come? And they'll say, I'm a science person. I said, what do you believe? The Big Bang? Well, that's scientific. But God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, Len, I just want to tell you, okay? I just want to say this, because I feel like it needs to be said. Because some of you are like are so offended already. You came with a friend and already said all these things. You're like, that guy's a moron, you know. And there'd be people here that would agree with you that it's not their first time. But I just do not want us to get hung up. Do I have opinions about how the beginning happened? I'm Jamie Ward. Do I have an opinion about anything? Do you have an opinion about how it all happened? If you're honest. But I want to tell you, I love to sit down and talk about those things for fun. But the bottom line is this. God did it. God did it. And I think for us to have a real understanding of salvation, and for us to have a real understanding of what is it that God wants from our lives, we have to understand that God did it. That this God, He really is great, and He's unfathomable, and you know, He's brilliant, He's magnificent, He's majestic, and He's all these incredible things. But I want to tell you, that's because He's God. And He did this. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And He separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And I love it, because where we get really hung up is not even thinking about that God just did this. But man, we have all these debates and books and conferences and speakers all talking about, now was that a literal 24-hour day? Or was each day like 1,000 years to the Lord, therefore making the week of creation about 6,000 years? And there's all these debates, and people miss the greatest thing about it, that God did it. Because here's the thing, nobody knows if it was really 24 hours. I personally think it was. And I personally, as I read it, I think, man, it was 24 hours. And so there's all these debates. How old is the earth? Is it millions of years old? Is it billions of years old? Is it thousands of years old? And there's all these opinions. And can I just tell you, that's what Satan wants us to distract us from the fact that God has done this. And listen, I would love to sit down and talk to you and tell you why I think the earth is really probably about 6,000 years old. But I wouldn't say that you were wrong if you disagreed with me. It'd be fun to talk about, especially if we're both coming from this point. Well, I think God did it over a million year period. Well, that's fine. That's great. I think He did it in a really quick matter of time. But God did it. Does everybody grasp that? Hello? And listen, this is going to be, it's going to be so simple tonight. And because I've played around with this message and I thought about getting into all these details of creation and talking about all these theories and all these things people think. But the Lord just kept bringing me back to this one thing, that He is worthy to be praised. And He's worthy for us to give our lives to. And He's trustworthy. He is trustworthy. Because not only did He say, let there be light, and there was a light, but He spoke into some of our lives and said, you're forgiven. And guess what? You were forgiven. Isn't that awesome? That is incredible. And it wasn't like this big process. You're forgiven as soon as you hike 1,000 miles. He didn't say that. You're forgiven as soon as you've been to 371 church services. Because like some of you come in and you just mark it off. Like remember the old gunfighters, and for everybody they killed, they put a notch in their belt? You remember those Westerns? Anybody still watch Westerns? No? Okay, I didn't think so. But some of you come to church and you put a notch in your Bible. I've been at another service. So there you go, God. A little bit of time for you, God. Like that's going to earn you some kind of heavenly favor, but it doesn't work like that. You cannot earn what God wants to give you. He's incredible. He's unbelievable. And the way He created. Listen, you've got to know. Anybody ever watch the Discovery Channel? See, like I learned about this. Like this is just incredible. Like there's this. Oh man, I totally forgot. Anyway, there's this thing. I'm kind of scientific myself. But there's this thing. And what it does, I can't even remember what it is. It's so embarrassing. But anyway, it's kind of like, and the number two reason why you should serve is. And so like there's this thing. And what it does, it's like in water. And so there's a fish. I love it. Just Google it. Quit laughing. And so it latches on to the fish's tongue. And what it does is it just starts sucking the blood out of the fish's tongue, which is amazing because I didn't know fish had tongues. And they do, don't they, Keith? Oh, wait, you've never seen one. And so so this thing is latched onto the fish's tongue, and it slowly sucks the life literally out of the tongue, but not out of the fish. And what happens is the tongue decays and eventually just falls off, but this thingy is latched on, and for the rest of the fish's life, this thing acts like the fish's tongue. Okay. I don't care. I think it's awesome. Because then they show a picture of the fish, and there's that thing just sitting there going, hey, you know? And I love it. And so, anyway, God said, but this God, I mean, why would you do that if you're God? Make a thing like that. Why would you do that? And what did Adam name it? Did he even know fish had tongues? Yeah, I don't know. And then people always say, well, God created Adam and Eve. And the most theological question that comes up about the creation of Adam and Eve, somebody always asks me, did they have belly buttons? And I love it when people ask me, I'm like, that's funny. And they're like going, you know, like there's a hole in their spiritual life until this question is answered. Because we taught our kids that the belly button was the microphone to the baby, which is awesome. Because my wife would be in Walmart trying to pull her shirt down because Sam's like, I want to tell the baby something, you know, chasing her around. And so I don't know if they had belly buttons. I mean, I would think not. Except this God who made the thing on the fish who just said, you know, and there's a belly button. I mean, it's phenomenal and it's incredible. But here's what matters. You've been created by God. And this is the same God who spoke everything into existence. I mean, how awesome is that? One of my favorite things to do, some of you have already heard this, one of my favorite things to do is when I speak at college campuses, I always talk about the dinosaur bone sprinkling theory. How many of you have heard of that? All right. Welcome to Wednesday night worship. I didn't realize we had all these first-time visitors. So, I always talk about creation, that God did it. Don't get all hung up on how everything happened. It's just going to be a distraction to you. I said, because most of it was God just being hilarious anyway. And someone calls me, what do you mean? I said, well, like the dinosaur bone sprinkling theory. And all these students like get out and look, what? Well, now what is that? It's like, it's a dinosaur bone sprinkling theory. And they said, what is that? And I said, well, I only believe the earth is about 6,000 years old. And they're like, what about the fossil record? All these dinosaurs and the bones we find, they're like hundreds of thousands, millions of years old. I said, oh, when God created the earth, he just got out a bunch of dinosaur bones and he just sprinkled them on the earth for fun. And people have given their lives to study the bones of the dinosaurs. And God just, you know, sprinkled them. So that's the dinosaur bone sprinkling theory. And I didn't see one person write that down anywhere. So the important thing is we look at the beginning. Genesis, it's the beginning, is to understand there's this term, ex nihilo. You know what that means? When God created, he created out of nothing. Like, you know, God, there wasn't like a scrap, there wasn't like a dump there first. And the miracle was that God took this stuff and just really made beautiful stuff out of it. There wasn't no stuff. And God spoke it into existence. And there wasn't a divine Walmart. And God went to the light section and said, can I get some light? Any light? You have a planet? You do? It didn't happen. I love it. You guys are all like, what? What is he talking about? This is crazy. God is incredible. And I don't want you to miss it because of all the questions. How many of you have unanswered questions about this God? Okay, my hand is up. Wow, apparently a bunch of you need to be up here preaching. I have a lot of unanswered questions about God. How many of you have unanswered questions about the Bible? Okay, some of you are on it. How many of you, no matter what, are not going to raise your hand on a Wednesday night? And so I have all these questions, but you know what I have to remember and what I have to keep in control? You remember last week what we talked about? That the Bible is the revelation of who God is, and it's the revelation that he's chosen to share with us. Because the one thing that I need to be overwhelmed about, the one thing that I need to be absolutely passionate about is God. And he's a creator God. And so looking at this whole beginning, and I'm not going to go through it and each day and what he did, because he didn't create every day. Some days he ordered, right? And I don't mean from somewhere. I mean he ordered things in as to how they would be. But listen to this. This creation led David to pen the 8th Psalm. He probably didn't have a pen, though. And now, guys, that's funny. That was funny. I just thought of that. He said, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. He said, you have set your glory above the heavens. And I don't know about you, but the heavens are pretty incredible. And the word that's used here doesn't necessarily mean eternity heaven, but heavens as in the expanse of the sky. And your glory is set even beyond that. And listen, the heavens are pretty incredible. But the Bible, David said here, but you've even set your glory higher than that. It's higher than that. And I wonder what it is that you're passionate about. And I wonder what it is that you care about. And I wonder what it is in your connection, in your relationship to this God. And so David said, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. Listen to what he says. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the thingy, all that swim, the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And so I want to ask you this question tonight. What is the passion of your life? What is it that juices you? What is it that gets you excited? And then I want to ask you, is it this God? Because I want you to know at the end of this earthly life, he will be all that matters. And nothing else will matter.
And so I see it all the time. You know, there's something about parenting that is so humbling, that so reveals who I really am every day and my selfishness and my weaknesses. I mean, it's tough. It is tough. And so I'm trying so hard and I'm praying, God, you got to help me, because I want these kids to know that you're the passion of my life, that you're what I care about, that you're what drives me, that you're the most important thing, and that at the end of their lives, you'll be all that matters. I want them to know that. I want them to experience that in their lives. And so all I can say is, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And when David wrote, what is man that you're mindful of him? You know what he was saying? He's saying, who am I? Who am I? And so this psalm, the reason it is so significant, especially in relationship to Genesis 1, is to remind us that God is mindful of us. You see, the point of the psalm wasn't to make us say, man, we're nobody, we're nothing. I mean, who are we? That's not the point of the psalm. The point of the psalm is to remind you that God is mindful of you, that He has created you, that He does love you, that He does have a plan for your life. And listen, the plan will only be great because He who has given the plan is great. And you guys know that's a theme that's running through Wednesday nights, and you hear me say it a lot, and some of you are like, man, Jamie, get a new sermon. Move on. We've heard this. But if you don't grasp this, you'll never really understand what it is that God expects of you, what God desires from you, and what God wants for you. And so your passion should be for God Himself. And He's created you, and He loves you. And something so significant, and I want to end with this. You know, we talk about in creation, how many days did God create?
Come on now. Come on, church people, where are you? Thank you.
6 days. And then in the context of creation, we're taught that God rested on the seventh day, which typically we believe to be what day? Sunday. And yet I find it so significant that God's absolute greatest work happened on a Sunday. And aren't you glad that when Jesus was crucified, God was not found resting on Sunday? And in that is on that day that Jesus was raised from the dead. Because I want you to know, what was so powerful about the whole story of Jesus and the end of His life. And I'll just kind of throw out a pet peeve, and you've heard me say this before. That's why I don't care much for a crucifix. That, you know, when you have a crucifix, you've got a cross, whether it's a piece of jewelry, something hanging in your house or whatever, and Jesus is on the cross. But I'm going to tell you, if Jesus was still on the cross, you would not be forgiven. If Jesus was still on the cross, there'd be no potential for you to be forgiven. Because God's greatest work didn't take place on Friday. It took place on Sunday when Jesus rose again, thereby accomplishing this act of justice that sin would absolutely be conquered, defeated, paid for, so that there'd be debt-free living if you were a believer. And so on Sunday, God did this incredible work of raising His Son from the dead. And because He did that, you and I can be forgiven. I want to ask you, what is the passion of your life? If you're not sure, ask somebody that's close to you. Ask somebody around you, what's the passion of my life? Because I guarantee you, whatever you're most passionate about, everybody else will know it. Like, I'm not real passionate about that thingy that I saw, right? Because I don't know nothing about it. Some of you are embarrassed I told the story for me. What are you passionate about? What do you really care about? And then here's what's really tough, and you can expect to hear this because you're a church, but God should be our absolute first priority. I'll tell my kids when I put them to bed, I'll say, Sam, guess what? I love you, buddy. And you know what he says? He says, you love God more. And what do I say? I said, I hope so. Because if I love God more, then I can love you more. And Sam will say, Dad, I love you, but not as much as God. And that's okay. Because I'm going to tell you, you know what I know about these little kids? I'm not going to be there for every trial in their life. And I'm not going to be there for every crisis. And I'm not going to be there when things get really tough at some point in their lives. But God will always be there. And so I want to teach them that this God is worth giving yourself to. I want to teach them that He's worth living your life for. I want to teach them that the most incredible life that you can live is a life lived for God. And I want you to hear that, but I don't want to gloss over that. I don't want you to just say, well, that's a church and that all sounds great. Because I want you to know that there's somebody today in this world who absolutely gave themselves to Jesus. They lost their life today somewhere in the world because they bore the name of Jesus. And so I'm not making any promises to you. You haven't heard me say, make Jesus the passion of your life and you'll have all the things you ever desired. But one day you will get everything you desired. You know when? When God changes all your desires. And when God changes all my desires, then guess what He does? He gives me everything I desire. Isn't that incredible? Some of you, you know, it's hard to grasp that, isn't it? It's hard to really understand what life would be like if I really, really lived it that way. Remember, I was out somewhere and at a restaurant or something. I don't know why I'm always at a restaurant. I'm going to try to think of different places to be. But I was at a restaurant or something, and I don't remember exactly everything that happened. This story just came to my mind. But, like, I don't know, the person a couple tables over had knocked a plate of spaghetti on the floor. And I was probably, like, on my way getting ready to preach somewhere, you know, and I probably had on a white suit, you know, and I just got showered with spaghetti. And I just remember, man, I was so mad and just upset about it, you know, and I just got showered with spaghetti, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, somebody's going to pay for this dry cleaning. That's what I was thinking in my mind. So, you know, somebody's going to pay for this. I want a discount off my meal, you know, even though the waitress had nothing to do with the spaghetti assault, did she? And somebody else had dropped it. And so I'm sitting there and I'm so mad and I'm just thinking, okay, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Because, you know, I really do try to tell myself that. You know, what would Jesus do? And so I'd kind of assume, well, Jesus wouldn't be upset. He'd probably sit there. He wouldn't say anything and it'd be all right. And all of a sudden, I see this guy get up. And he goes down over there and he gets on his hands and his knees and he starts picking up the spaghetti with his hand. And putting it like in a napkin or something that he had in his hand, started picking it up. And you know what Jesus was telling me? No, that's what I'd do. I'm like, Jesus, I got a suit on. I want to be a good steward of my suit, you know? And he's reminding me, no, this is what I would do. Wouldn't act like you. I wouldn't be like that. And so, you know, as I've been thinking about this all day, and it's probably very obvious, I've struggled with this today. I've struggled about, because I had a lot of other things that I wanted to share with you. But it was like God just kept telling me, this is about my glory. This life is about me. It's not about you. And it's not about what happens to you and how horrible and how tough. It's not about all that. You have been saved. You hear me say this all the time, and that means the greatest thing that could happen to you has happened. You've been saved. And God's saying, and so I am worthy of what I'm calling you to do. I am worthy of that. What are you passionate about? What juices you? What gets you really excited? And I want to ask you, is it God? Is it Him? Because I want you to know, while He rested on Sunday, that week of creation, He did not rest on the Sunday after Jesus went to the cross. And He raised Him up.
so that you could be saved, so that I could be saved, so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that we could say, Lord, here's my life. Here's all that I am, all that I have, and it's yours. Because whatever you're passionate about, you've said that too. I'm asking you to bow your head and close your eyes. I don't want anybody looking around, but I just wonder if you're here tonight and you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've never invited Him to come into your life. You never asked Him to forgive you of your sin. You know that you've never done that. Would you just lift your hand up real quick? I'm the only one looking. Just real quick. Anyone else? How many of you would say, you know, I know that God has not been the passion of my life? How many of you would say that? Just lift your hand up real quick. Okay. Well, everybody look up here. Because there was a cross, and because there was a resurrection, you know what we get to do? We get to say, God, forgive me. Because I want You to be the passion of my life. God, I want You to redirect me, reorder me, God, so that I'll be who You're calling me to be. And tonight I've just prayed, Lord, overwhelm us with who You are. With Your greatness, with Your majesty. Overwhelm us, God. And so I just want to ask tonight, and this will be an altar of remembrance. God, help me to remember that You are worthy. You are worthy for me to give my life to You. You are worthy for me to be passionate about. So we're going to stand together. This won't be a long altar. I'm going to ask you to just respond in obedience. You come. Come now.